Seed Blind Spring Sale is on now, where you can get 40% off roller and Roman blinds, 30% off outdoor blinds, plus heaps more. You know what else is on now? This Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast.
Guys, I'd like you to say hello to my parents, Mama Tare and Papa Sumutsi. We've got them on the phone live from the north. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, hello to you both. Thanks for waking up.
It's okay. No, we were awake, sort of.
And Mr. and Mrs. Corelli, are you having a beautiful trip?
We're having a ball, honestly. It's lovely. The weather up here is actually, I shouldn't say it. I feel bad for all you guys in Perth, but the weather's amazing. Blue skies, sunshine.
Oh, great feeling to be spending degrees. Pete's inheritance, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, how's the, just quickly, before we get to the reason why I've given you a call, how's your influencer partnership with Yeti Travel Mugs going? Because they're...
Fantastic.
I got to tell you guys, they haven't sent her every photo they send to us on WhatsApp. We got a family WhatsApp group. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Every photo they send to us is either a selfie with the Yeti travel mugs in it or the Yeti travel mugs in the picture in the bottom right-hand corner overlooking the beautiful vista of wherever they happen to be.
Oh, you think they've got themselves a deal?
I think you have. Have you got a deal with Yeti or what's going on?
Oh, they're just amazing.
They are amazing. If I had to make one comment, you let your coffee cool down before you put it in there because it takes too long to drink it.
Oh. God, you guys are good.
Great advice.
Yeah, hashtag ad. All right. Hey, listen. Now, I had to get you on the phone this morning, right, because I want you to tell a story of the reason why you were stuck in the car eating lunch the other day. What happened?
We're out Gregory's there, out Perrins Station there in Denham. Outside Denham, and we're having a barbecue. Found this beautiful barbecue and nice scenery in that blue sky and blue water. And I thought, oh, we'll have a barbecue here out in nature because it's really good. So I started to cook the meat, and then I had to go to the car for something. And I'm just whistling away, walking to the car, minding my own business. And as I went to look down, there's this massive king brown snake right in front of me. It was actually crossing the path, but when it saw me, luckily I stamped my feet when I walk and it turned around and went back into the bush.
Yeah, that's it.
I went back to cook the meat and we were going to sit there and eat the meat by the ocean. And Mama Ted got up to walk through the bush and have a look around. I said, where are you going? And she said, I'm going for a walk. I said, I wouldn't because I know how she feels about snakes.
Mm.
Anyway, I told her and next thing you know, the meat's cooked. In the plate, and we're sitting in the car in the heat eating our lunch.
I said, there's no way. There's no way we're eating lunch outside.
Are you a bit scared of snakes?
Oh, she's a shocker, Kimber, honestly. She's a shocker.
Were you thinking that gangs of snakes were going to try and steal your Yeti mug or something?
Mate, she drives you nuts because then after that, every time I went to walk around, be careful, watch out for snakes. There was only one poor snake that was on its way to somewhere, and I scared it.
Is it right that you told me that they that she got you to check the underside of the car and everything before you got in the car?
I was checking the underside of the car.
What were you checking for? What were you going to do if you found it?
Well, I don't know.
If the snake was under the car, we would have been eating lunch in the bush.
So, look, I'm so scared of ... My mum's got one of the biggest fears of snakes ever.
It's a pretty rational fear,
it
right?
It is, yeah. I mean, we were in Brisbane once and mum came to visit and we took her to Australia Zoo and she wouldn't come within 50 metres of the giant boa constrictor that was stuck behind a 5-inch thick plate glass window.
Oh, yeah, my mum won't either. I said I had dogs that were bitten by a snake in the yard and I was trying. One of them died and I was trying to save the other one's life and I called my mum and said, can you rush him to the vet? And my dogs had killed the snake, so I put the snake in a plastic bag and the snake was in two pieces, right? And I put it in a bag and said, take it with you to the vet so they can identify what anti-venom to use. And mum was freaking out that she had to have the snake in the car with her. And I'm like, it's in two pieces.
Yeah.
The thing is dead.
They're like earthworms. They grow back.
I say,
yeah.
Well, yesterday we went to the Kennedy Ranges and we're driving on the main road out there, Bitumen Road, and doing 100 k's an hour, and there's two. I saw two of them cross the road while we were driving, and she was petrified. And I said, what do you think they're going to do at 100 kilometres an hour? Jump up and grab the car.
Hitchhikers.
Hey. Oh, you two had a beautiful trip. It's been so nice talking to you.
You too. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Love you.
Love you too.
Love you guys.
Love you. Bye.
There they go. All right. Bye bye.
They're the cutest.
Yeah, they're all right.
I want to get out of this pop stand and go on holiday with your folks.
Yeah. No, they're a good time. But let's go to the phones. Kira in Bull Creek, what are you so scared of?
I am petrified of snakes, which was just reliterated recently.
Oh. Okay, what happened?
Well, I'm from the country.
Yeah.
And my family often go over to the beach for camping.
Mm-hmm.
And, they were all camping and on the way home, so it's gravel roads. And, yes, in my uncle and auntie's car, a snake came out of the vent.
Oh, yes.
Now we're talking, Kira.
Well, see, you're a captive audience then. It's a very different situation, yes. Isn't it?
So, yeah, luckily my uncle's pretty handy with the barbecue tongs, which were pretty handy. And
oh, yeah, all the good snake handlers use those.
Pair of clean jocks later, so.
Oh, my God. Imagine that moment when there's a bloody head of a snake coming out the vent.
Wow.
So what did he just grab it with the tongs and chuck it out the window? Did you stop? Like what happened?
Oh, yeah, it was the whole convoy had to stop and, yeah, all of a sudden you see this snake flinging out of the car door.
Wow,
so,
mate. Oh,
pretty amazing. Intense.
Oh,
thanks for your story, Kira.
You know, because it's one thing to avoid snakes, you know, and go, I don't want to see them at the zoo or whatever, but that's, you know, when they're coming at you like that,
yes.
That's rough.
Yes.
Vicky in Merriwa, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. What are you so scared of?
I'm so scared of spiders. I hate them with a passion.
Yeah.
Absolutely hate them with a passion. I went into the toilet at home one day and I needed to go to the toilet and I was doing the little dance you got to do to get there because you're in such a hurry, trying to keep the knees together and everything else. Got in there, turned around, shut the door, saw a daddy long legs behind the door and went, nah, can't do it. And I have not been to that toilet since.
Vicky, even a daddy long legs.
Vicky.
Can't do it. It doesn't matter whether they're tiny little garden spiders and daddy long legs or whether they're big, fat and furry. I don't do spiders.
Vicky.
I shake, I vomit, I get goosebumps. I'm horrible.
I used to get that. Terrible. I was like that. If I saw a spider, I would hyperventilate to the point where I would throw up.
Yeah.
And yes, I went and did a technique called EFT, emotional freedom technique, tapping.
Yep.
And I'm not afraid of spiders anymore. Like I am, but I'm not like, I don't get any of those reactions.
I'm sitting here talking to you about it now. I've got goosebumps all over me. It's like,
oh, it's debilitating.
I hate them. Oh, they're horrible. And then there was another time I walked in through a door. I had to unlock it. Walked in and there's a huntsman spider at eye level at me. It's like, nah, I'm out. So
mate,
I walked away.
And you live in Merriwa. You'd see a fair share of them too, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. Stop it. I'm going to go home today. Stop it.
There's one right. There's one right there behind you, Vicky.
Wow, Vicky's doing her dance again.
That's just not fair. Oh, don't do them at all. I'm not good with spiders at all.
We're getting the message, yeah. Vicky. I just started smiling because I know what we're about to do and how badly it may go.
I'm regretting putting a piece of chocolate in my mouth.
Oh, yeah.
It feels a bit claggy for this kind of deal now.
Right. You could find that you hip-hop better that way.
Maybe. Just stretch everything out, you guys, to get ready.
Now, welcome to What a Week, which, of course, is a sort of meant to be a recap of the big stories of the week. But really, the biggest story is this guy. Snoop Dogg is coming to Perth.
2022.
It's a year away.
You know?
Yeah, look, it's not been a busy week in news. I won't lie to you, Kimber. Of course, we had great news with the budget. We had state premiers being really mean to each other about all these vaccines.
Mm.
But it doesn't really matter because this guy's coming to town. We got footy coming up. We had a 30-degree day. And because this guy's coming to town, decided this week we would be inspired by him and give you the news and turn it into a bit of a sort of a dissing rap battle. Let's just get on with it. Yeah. What a week.
No regrets about this being live.
Sorry. So much drama in the world today. We try and keep things happy here on PMK. I've never seen state premiers acting so mean, dissing poor Berezulkian over vaccines. Who hasn't wanted to give our state daddy a pash? A whole lot sexier with billions in cash. Sun peeking through, yeah, I fall to my knees. I'm loving the feel of 30 degrees. A great news, we heard Snoop D-O-double-G is hitting Perth next year at Arena RAC. We all want tickets. We'll get Kimber to book. Kimber's great at doing admin, but she can't really cook.
Hey, that blob over there dissing my Kimber rules. No surprise, Tinsky, old Mr. Killer Jules. I won't listen to you, snigger. Go ahead, call me names, because you'll never be as thin as my boyfriend, James.
Now, Matt, I got me a permission. Everybody want to hear Petey come chip in. Grand finals in Perth don't happen all the time. Man, it's not your thing, but it's my time to shine. See, everything is fine if they can have it at the MCG. I got to cultivate two tickets because it's captivating me. But listen to the words that I speak. Only 10,000 tickets for the people in the street. I hope the doggies be Port Adelaide. South Aussies here means tickets are more Slim Shady. No guarantees when I'm begging Liz, please. Can I have a couple G's for the scalper in the street? At ease, Pete. Pete, that's against the law. Thanks, State Daddy. So you know I'm just...
I think that's called featuring.
And my munchies on my mind. Then I hit the beach, skin so pale. I'm looking like a beached whale. So fat.
Snoop's here. Oh, my huge. Who needs him in 2022?
That was fun.
That was good fun. Well done. Well played.
Don't sleep naked.
Okay.
Don't tell me what to do.
Well, that's the advice that a doctor has given Matt. Don't sleep naked, and it believes you should never sleep while naked, and it all comes down to the humble shart. Oh, I wasn't expecting you to play such a wet sound.
Oh, I've got plenty.
That was unpleasant.
Oh, dear. Oh,
what do you want for the morning?
Dr. Anthony Ewan has explained that the average person passes gas 15 to 25 times a day, and a lot of it can happen while you're sleeping.
Yes, look, it does for sure.
And a scientific study has proved that every time you pass gas, you are spraying a tiny amount of fecal material at the time.
It's like you know, sorry.
And in doctor language, he actually said, this is true even if it's not a real shart, what he called it. He said, the same study showed that your tighty whities will catch all of the particles.
Yeah, but then you're sleeping in your tighty whities full of fecal matter. I'd rather spread the love.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, scientists did a test and they measured the volume of participants' farts and found that the volume of the largest one was 375 milliliters, which worked out to be the volume of like a tall latte.
A tall latte?
A tall latte. Like a tall
a can of Coke is 375 mil, right? So a can of Coke.
Yeah, I mean,
you
that's
stick a, your tall latte.
It's a fair amount, right? Yeah. And then, so Dr. Carl, our very own Dr. Carl Krzyzlinski, also followed up with a study, and he said, "Look, we're going to get a participant to blast a fart into a petri dish, without their pants on, and see what bacteria developed." Right. And the petri dish that was blasted with flatulence from the uncovered anus has sprouted visible lumps of two types of bacteria. And so, but the one that had clothing on didn't get the bacteria in the dish.
Right.
No.
Yeah. So they're saying, he said, our deduction is that the splattering was caused by the sheer velocity of the fart, which blew skin bacteria from the cheeks and blasted it onto the dish.
But I'm not arguing with that. I'm saying it's in your undies. And why aren't these scientists working on vaccines?
His Wikipedia page describes him as one of Australia's most experienced and well-travelled comedians. Doesn't say anything about funny. Lucky he is, which is why we love him. Please welcome, friend of the show, Limo.
Hey, buddy!
Hey, Matt and Kimber.
I'm excited to be with you this morning, guys. I almost made it in person, but I am in a submarine with Eddie Maguire and David Cost, and we're 5 minutes from Fremantle.
We won in.
So close and yet so far.
You will not lock out Eddie and you will not lock out Costy, Western Australia. Do you hear me?
Oh, mate.
Maybe you need Clive Palmer's lawyers on that sub with you.
Oh, we need something. I just hasn't. Mark McGowan be just loving it.
Oh, look, and to top it off, being able to come out with record budget this morning, if you don't mind as well. He is sitting pretty.
Boom. He is kicking torps from 70 and they're going straight through the guts.
Oh, Limo, did you see the New South Wales health minister said that he felt sorry for West Australians under Mark McGowan? And whatever you think of what he was saying, we're going, oh, is that right, mate? Oh, you want to feel sorry for us, do you? It's 22 bloody degrees here, mate. We're having a great time.
We're doing fine while the rest of the country is just beating itself up. Have a listen to what Daniel Andrews said earlier in the week about the vaccination rollout.
Now, some don't like to see this as a race, but a race it surely is. What I didn't know was that Premier Berejiklian's in a sprint while the rest of us are supposed to do some sort of egg and spoon thing. No, we want our fair share.
No.
That's not how the egg and spoon race works.
Had a real Kath and Kim vibe about it, didn't it? No. Oh. No.
And why did he feel like, having said the word race quite a few times, that he couldn't finish it, couldn't bring it home with egg and spoon race?
Egg and spoon, yeah.
Why did it have to be an egg and spoon thing?
I tell you, man, but everyone's hating on each other and you guys are in paradise. But we tried to get our own bit of paradise happening here last night. I was listening to you guys chat to Maggie Beer just a moment ago. Kimber,
oh,
I love
yeah.
that you've got your cooking challenge underway.
Trying my best.
Yesterday, my five-year-old son comes to me and says, Daddy, can we have lobster for dinner?
Oh.
This is my five-year-old son. Mm. I'm like, how? Where did? What is going on here? Then I realised he just watched an episode of Bluey called Lobster.
Okay.
And after watching that, he said he wanted lobster for dinner. I said, sure, we can get lobster for dinner. That's fine, mate. So I go down to buy some lobster, and I go into the shop, and I said, can I have a full lobster? The bloke says, I don't have any, but we've got lobster tails. And I said, give us a look at them. I said, all right, I'll take three of those. Thanks. Do you guys know how much lobster is?
It's, we're Corelli Seafood opposite us here, buddy.
Well, I mean, depending on the time of year, mate, you could pay quite a bit for lobster tail, let alone lobster.
I have forked out for three lobster tails. He's put them in a bag, and he said, there you go, mate. And I've gone to tap on with my phone. Mm. $85.
Yeah. What?
Yes.
But it's just the butt end.
It's the tail, yes.
That's the best part. That's the meat. That's the part where they go, we can charge that much for it because we've gotten rid of the head, we've gotten rid of the insides, we've gotten rid of all of the stuff you can't chew on.
And it's also, I'm in that situation, you know, where you get charged a lot in a shop and there are people behind you?
Yeah.
You're trying to act cool. I've got like a bead of sweat rolling in the side of my face. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, no worries, mate. Yeah.
Oh, my marriage is over.
Like, you know, he's a kid. You could have just given him crab and he wouldn't have known.
Oh, yeah, well, here's the bit, Kim, but we get home. And he's all excited. He goes, where's the lobster? I said, well, here it is. He goes, no, the lobster. I said, this is it, mate. It's just the tail. So A, he's upset that he hasn't got the whole lobster, right? And then we cook it and I serve it up to him and he has one little bite and he says, nah, I don't like it.
I'm laughing, but I want to cry because that's literally my household every night.
I said, are you kidding, mate? He said, I want the skin. I want the crusty skin. Oh. I said, mate, it's not skin, it's shell.
Yeah.
He goes, well, that's what I want. So I got the shell out of the bin. I said, do you want to eat that? And he goes, yeah. I said, you can't eat that, mate.
Wow.
Mate, yeah, kids.
I mean, you're doing a great job, Limo.
Yeah,
a great job.
You really are.
I would have soaked that tail in vinegar and been like, there you go, suck on that, kid.
I tell you what, do you shove it down his throat and make him hate lobster for the rest of his life? Actually, that would have been a good idea. That would have saved me some money down the track.
Oh, mate, listen, you take care of yourself over there. We are thinking about you guys here while we are swanning around more than 5 kilometres out from our houses. But, yeah, we are thinking of you.
Hey, enjoy the freedom and enjoy the preliminary final tonight. I will be watching from the safety of my lounge room.
Thanks, thanks man. Limo. See you,
all
mate.
The best, guys.
Have you ever told a friend that their partner was cheating?
Oh.
A really tough one. And it's not the first time it's come up. And so, you know, it, in Perth now, they have a thing called Hey Bestie. And it's like, you know, the old agony aunt where you write in and say, hey, you know, my relationship's this or whatever. And you get some advice. Mm-hmm. So I'll just read it as it is. I've discovered that, hey Bestie, you've discovered that my friend's husband is cheating on her. What should I do? Long story short, they were caught in the act when a mutual friend went to their house and saw another woman half-dressed and the friend not there, the wife.
Right.
What should I do? Now, I don't know. I mean, look, it's one of life's real. My go-to thing is I stay out of other people's business.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly,
which is a good rule. It's a good rule in general.
And particularly in this situation where I didn't see it, someone else, like, so you're relying on someone else giving you that information.
Yep.
So it's a big risk, right?
I would put it out there that the sisterhood would disagree.
Yes, I understand.
I think that possibly men and women come from a different position on this as well.
Okay.
Because historically, I'm not saying it's always been everybody.
No, no.
Historically, men are more known to be the cheaters.
Okay.
And women are like, protect the sisterhood and tell each other if you're being dogged by somebody.
Sure.
I did tell a friend because she was like, she'd had some bad relationships. She'd had her heart broken a bunch of times. And then she finally met this dude and she was really into him. And she was just on the precipice of falling for him very deeply.
Mm.
And I saw him with another woman.
Right.
Making out with another woman in the street. There was no like question. It was
in the street.
Yeah.
Out in public.
That's well, he lived bold. In a different city. So we did a bit of investigation and it turned out he had this other woman that was going out and taking him and his kids out and stuff. But so it was like a proper relationship.
Okay. Yeah. Well.
And I felt like it was the right thing to tell my friend because I love my friend dearly. And I'm like, I clearly love her more than this guy does. And so I just said, just a heads up, this is what I saw. So
and that's
questioned it.
Okay.
And when he was like, well, who told you? She said that it was me.
Yes.
And she ended up going on to marry him and they cut me out of their lives completely.
Okay. Well, that's the risk, right?
And I lost my best friend over it.
Interesting.
But if I was to do it again, I possibly would. Like if it was someone that I really loved, I'm not going to interfere with things I don't know, but if it's someone that I really love and care about that I know that this would destroy them, I don't think it's my responsibility to keep your lie for you.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Don't put people in that position.
But it's not your, is it your responsibility to get involved?
No, but it's just that I know that I'm keeping it a secret. So every time your friend goes out for coffee, he goes, my husband's so great. He's not, like the whole time you're just biting your tongue going, actually, he's a bit of a dick.
Now, I'm not saying you did the wrong thing, by the way. I'm just asking these questions.
Yeah.
Would it make a difference if the person, like in this case, that guy was clearly having like another life?
Oh, clearly, yeah.
But if you just walked into a nightclub at 3 a.m. and saw him macking on with someone, is that different?
I don't think in hindsight, I would probably go to the bloke. I say bloke only because that's the circumstance.
Address it with him.
A woman can cheat too, obviously. Mm. I think I would go to the cheater and go, just so you know, I know.
Yeah. Okay. Now give me $1,000.
Well, it's like just, you know, you got to deal with your own. Don't put this on me because now it's my problem and I haven't done anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I've got to lie to my friend all the time.
Have you been in that situation?
I have seen it happen.
Mm.
And as much as I would like to think that I would be the person who would have the guts, I reckon, to go, hey, mate, this is happening in your relationship.
Yeah.
I've seen it happen to friends of mine and I've not said anything.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's the philosophical part of me that goes, yeah, I'd tell them. Absolutely, I would tell them. Seen it happen, haven't told them.
And there's also plenty of relationships that are open or polyamorous or, you know, so it's like sometimes that thing is done with permission, but they're just not spruiking to everybody that they have that type of relationship.
We've got Anonymous. Hello, Anonymous.
Yeah, hello.
What happened?
So I was actually pregnant with our last child together. We were engaged and I found out that he was cheating on me.
Mm-hmm.
All of his family knew and the only one that had the guts to tell me was his 17-year-old niece.
His whole family knew and no one said anything except the niece.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
So did you address it with the family afterwards?
Oh, yeah, they all knew, they all heard about it.
And what did they say to you?
They said it wasn't their business and that he was going to tell me, but I was actually in Perth visiting my mum for a few weeks, so I got back to thinking everything was okay, and it wasn't.
Yeah. Oh, that's really tough to go through.
And I understand it. I do get the idea of going, it's not our business. But I also think that if that was me, I'd be going to the guy saying, you can't be doing this. You have to either sort yourself out or be honest with someone.
Yes.
Either you've got to end that thing that you got going on or you've got
come
to
clean.
Come clean.
Yes, yeah.
Natalie and Gosnells, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. Natalie, what was your situation?
Mine was my best friend. Her and I had been friends for years. We worked together and she never really fell in love with anyone. And then she met this guy. She ended up moving to Queensland to be with him. Was completely in love with him. They moved back to WA. I was living on my own at the time and they were living together and they were having a few issues with their relationship. And she wanted to kick him out while they sorted their stuff out. And I said, well, look, I've got a spare room. He doesn't know anyone in Perth. I'm happy for him to crash in the spare room while you guys sort your stuff out. So he came to stay with me and it wasn't long and I found him on websites in my kitchen one night and then he actually hit me up.
When you say websites, you mean like on dating websites? Okay, right. Yeah.
Pick up websites.
Yeah.
Like, and then he had a crack at you.
Like yep. And then he hit me up and I was like, you're like my best mate's friend and like she is so in love with you and you guys are supposed to be sorting things out. I was like, you have got 48 hours to tell her or I'm going to go and tell her.
Yep.
And then I went to work that night and I came home the next morning to find that he had packed all his stuff and left. He left my front door open. He left the keys on the kitchen table and he'd gone back to her and told her that I had hit him up.
Oh, dear.
Yes. Yeah. And when her and I had a chat about it, she actually believed him over me. And they went on to have 2 kids. And the last I heard is they're no longer together because he continued cheating and she found out.
Okay, when you say the last you heard, how long ago was that?
I'm in my early 40s now and I would have been mid-20s when this happened.
Okay. So, and
her and
she's
I not spoke since.
Right. She's never reached out to you to go, hey, you know.
Well, sometimes you've got your tail between your legs like that.
Yeah.
You know, people want to believe that then that those things aren't true.
Yeah.
Sorry, you know? Did you say you've tried to get in touch with her, Nat?
Yeah, I tried, I think it was last year. I found her on Facebook and I messaged her on Facebook and tried to reach out and
Oh, mate, that's
Good for
wild.
You for trying.
And it was like I did the right thing, you know. She was my best mate and like her and I were so close and she was like my bestest best mate. And I lost her.
Oh, it's a great loss, isn't it?
Awful.
Thanks for sharing your story this morning, Nat.
All right, and thanks for awesome, guys, because I listen to you guys every day on my way to work, and yous are amazing.
Oh, thanks, Natalie. That's kind.
Thank you. Good thing. Thank you so much.
Oh, they not a position I want to find myself in, that's for sure.
It's rough, isn't it?
Yeah.
How good was that Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast? There's heaps more available on the Listener app. And there's heaps more amazing deals on blinds, awnings and shutters available at the ABC Blind Spring Sale on now.